Sir, it's good to see you. How are you? It's been too long.
I'm good, Jesse. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know you've been very busy. There is a lot going on in agriculture right now. Let's talk about the current main topic out of many, tariffs and everything going on with the Supreme Court decision recently. Obviously, the president saying something different, going to use other means. What's your perspective on this tariff uncertainty, I guess, is the way I frame it, because it just feels like we're back to a period of uncertainty here, Zippy.
It does, and it brings a lot of uncertainty to a farmland, and, you know, that uncertainty spreads into our lending institutions and everybody that we deal with each and every day. So the Supreme Court ruling gave us some certainty, and then, just like you said, the president makes a few comments, takes a different direction. We're urging him to realize that anything he uses within his authority to put tariffs on always has a bad effect on agriculture, and if he would at least exempt some of the costs that we have to of the products that we consume, like fertilizers and crop protection tools and equipment and metal that goes in that equipment. If we can get some exemptions in that area, it might lessen the blow. But it's difficult right now. We depend on foreign trade. We need a level playing field. We understand what he's trying to attempt to do, and we just pray to God he's going to be correct in his approach.
And I think that's the tough thing for a lot of folks in agriculture right now, is if we can get some of those exemptions, for instance. But if it's a blanket global tariff, what does that mean? Can we, you know, remove it from one country or one item? It just seems like that ambiguity is not helpful to folks who are making some tough decisions right now on the farms.
Yeah, it doesn't give you the certainty that you would really want out of that. So, mm-hmm. but it's better than nothing when we can get him to pick them off one at a time or a handful at a time to be able to exempt those things. It's better than not having anything.
Yeah.
But we understand what he's trying to do. We just hope he's successful in doing it.
Absolutely.
Because tariffs is not in our policy. We don't support that, and we're hoping that he can deliver that level playing field. And we have a number of frameworks that he keeps talking about. And what we need to see is for them to finish those frameworks up and get those trade deals done.
Yeah, well, and thinking of those trade deals and those frameworks, I know a big one on the horizon is USMCA. We're getting ready for that review to start in July. And I know I've heard from a lot of ag groups who are saying, hey, do no harm. If we can make some meaningful improvements, that is great, but this is, by and large, a really good trade deal for American agriculture. What's your perspective on the upcoming USMCA review?
Yeah, same way. And, you know, the first his first attempt of rewriting USMCA, our message was do no harm. Mm-hmm. And we were able to get that through, and I think we can do that again. I know this president appreciates farmers and ranchers. He feels for them. He wants to do the right thing for us, and I think at the end of the day, he'll make sure that USMCA delivers the satisfaction and the certainty that it brings to agriculture. I think he'll end up doing that. But we do need not sit on our laurels. We need to continue to put pressure on and make sure that everybody understands how important it is, because in the scheme of things, it's not an agricultural trade treaty. It's really an auto trade treaty, and we got to make sure that they're seeing how important it is to agriculture, because they're our number one and number two trading partners when it comes to agriculture, and we got to keep telling them that over and over and over again.
Absolutely. Let's focus on the domestic front here. E15, that's another major issue right now, and it's felt like the last couple of years we've had the rug pulled out from underneath us in agriculture at the very last minute, and now we're looking at this potential year-round legislation, a lot of champions on the Hill, but we don't have a deal in place with some of the oil refiners and more, and there's a lot of things happening, this Rural Energy Council. What's your optimism regarding E15 getting across the finish line here?
Well, my optimism is very high. I think we're going to get this done. I think trying to find a vehicle for this bill to move on, or the actions to move on to get it done. There's been more cooperation and discussion between BIO and the petroleum and farmers and ranchers, that we have a better understanding. Nobody really is against it. The structure of it and how it affects small refineries is somewhat debatable in that area. And And then it comes down to jobs in those small refineries. And can we show the significant increase in job that it supports by allowing it to be year-round E15? And we think we can do that, and we're working on that right now. But I know that the president is interested in doing that. He's said it in the recent weeks that E15 needs to be done that way. And my optimism, my positive optimism about this, it comes from the level of conversation that we're having. We're having more conversation on Capitol Hill and through this administration than we ever have on that subject. So I feel real good about it. I think we'll get there.
You mentioned my favorite word when it comes to D.C. politics, vehicle. We need a vehicle for this legislation. And I was having this conversation with someone else earlier today. I said, what makes me shake my head sometimes is something that has so much bipartisan support like E15. Why can't we just pass that on its own? Why is it always we have to find a vehicle? But I know you've dealt with, you know, Congress and more for a long time, and it just seems to be that it's just the way things are, it seems.
Yes, it's kind of the way things are, and you have to accept that, and you have to work with it. And I came to town not liking that, too. But that's not something you change. That's the way they do business, and you have to have that vehicle to put it on.
Well, we hope we can find that vehicle soon. We're talking with American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall here during Commodity Classic. Ag labor, I think that's another key issue for agriculture, for Farm Bureau here as we look at 2026. And that's another area where I feel like for the first time in a long time, there's some momentum around the potential of meaningful ag labor reform. Would you agree?
I agree. And my optimism is high in that area, too, because we're having those level of conversations that we've never had before. Mm-hmm. And they're very positive in a way of trying to get something done. House Ag Committee Chairman G.T. Thompson, even though it's not under his venue of responsibilities, he's taken on himself to create that task force last year, and they came across with some really good recommendations. Now they put it into a bill they'll be dropping real soon, and that's encouraging. That's really encouraging to me to see that happen, and to come from the ag chair is equally as important.
I'll ask you a farm bill here before we close out our conversation. I know we got a markup here the first week of March on the House side. We had a lot of things get done last summer in the One Big Beautiful Bill, but obviously there's still pieces of this farm bill that couldn't get done in that process, have to get done. What's your feeling on this farm bill? Can we get something across the finish line before the midterm elections?
I surely hope so, and I think it's going to depend on how engaged our farmers are in that issue. If we can keep pressing on and making it a topic on Capitol Hill and letting them know how important it is to come across with those rural development, research, extension, conservation, and all those titles that haven't been taken care of in the One Big Beautiful Bill, and then getting a full modernized farm bill like we're used to having back in 18 and before, it needs to be done. We don't need to veer away from the way we create our farm policy through the farm bill.
Any final thoughts or anything you'd reiterate for folks listening in to the show today?
I think everything we talked about is going to depend on how active our farmers are and how involved they are. If you're part of our organization, we'll give you a vehicle to get your voice heard. We encourage you to come be part of our family. But if not, pick up the phone, get in front of your computer, go to a town hall meeting, face off with your congressman and senator, and let them hear your story. It's the most powerful thing you can deliver. And if you're not telling your story, somebody else will, and it won't be told correctly. So let's get engaged. Let's make these things move forward. Let's show the president if he works for us, we'll work for him. And I say that about every administration.
That is an excellent, excellent point to wrap up on. FB.org for more. American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall, great to see you here at Commodity Classic, sir. And I know we'll talk again real soon. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Jesse.